Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back. You're listening to another Headlines episode here on the Sustainable Minimalist Podcast. And as a reminder, on these Headlines episodes, we do things a bit differently. I'm giving you the need to know environmental news headlines in 15-ish minutes. Today, we're talking all about geoengineering. Geoengineering projects are designed to change the Earth's atmosphere and hopefully curb global warming. Specifically, we are seeking to, at the very least, think about today this question. The question is, can we engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Can we? I'm not sure. We're going to think about that question, though, today. I'm talking infusing clouds with sulfur dioxide to block the sun's rays. I'm talking vacuuming carbon dioxide out of air. I'm talking adding iron to the ocean to draw greenhouse gases to the sea floor. So buckle up, my friends. This is going to be a real interesting 15 minutes. Now, as recently as a few years ago, technologies designed to change the Earth's atmosphere, aka geoengineering, were considered way too ridiculous, too impractical, too expensive, too pie in the sky. And yet, here we are. The effects of climate change are becoming worse and worse. Last year was the hottest in modern history. Oceans around the world are shockingly warm. Floods, droughts, wildfires, they're growing more intense. And even though we know the solution, so the solution is astoundingly simple, right? We need to switch from fossil fuels to renewable energy, and we needed to do it yesterday. That's the solution. Even though we know the solution and even though we know it's super simple, nations are just not doing it fast enough. The New York Times is reporting that global temperatures are now expected to rise as much as 4 degrees Celsius or more than 7 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century. So say goodbye to that 1.5 degrees Celsius warming that we were all going to stay at, right? No, projections are now at 4 degrees Celsius. So here we are, investors, entrepreneurs, they are coming up with these seemingly outlandish and controversial ideas to tinker with the Earth's atmosphere. Now, the market for these ventures is set to boom from less than $10 billion today to as much as $135 billion by 2040. And that's according to the Boston Consulting Group. Now, geoengineering, it comes with significant controversy. Many projects worry scientists and environmentalists precisely because they might not be safe. Are we creating more problems than we already have when we mess with the atmosphere? Some critics do say that when we intervene in this way, we're opening up a Pandora's box of new problems. Maybe we're messing with weather patterns. Maybe we're amplifying human suffering through unintended consequences that we can't even foresee yet. So scientists and environmentalists are asking, should we human beings be experimenting with the environment in this way? Do we even know enough to understand the risks? Another criticism of geoengineering is that yes, these technologies are outlandish and really darn expensive, but even worse than all of that is that these technologies will waste resources and time. They will give people false hope. Maybe we'll put all our eggs in the carbon capture basket, let's say, and we'll forget about the very obvious solution, which is stop burning fossil fuels and stop burning them yesterday. Now, what gets really interesting is that some of the best funded geoengineering projects, and we're going to talk about five of them in a minute, but pay attention here because this is really important. Some of the best funded geoengineering projects are bankrolled, so they're funded by oil and gas companies. What does that tell you? The most cynical among us, like, let's be honest, me, I find myself wondering whether big oil is funding these projects so that they can continue to do what they've always done, continue to make a profit, continue to stay relevant. All right, so what are these projects we're discussing today? The first two are carbon capture, direct carbon capture. Then we're talking about a gigantic umbrella, essentially, in outer space. Then we're going to adding iron into the ocean. And then finally, we're going to adding sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere. We'll get there in a minute. So let's talk about the first two. They are carbon capture projects. The first one's name is Stratos. It's made by Occidental Petroleum out of Texas. This is the world's largest direct air capture plant. It's not turned on yet, but it's planned to be turned on next year. Now, the way it works is pretty straightforward. Giant fans blow air across water that's been treated to absorb carbon dioxide. Then chemicals isolate the CO2 from the water. The CO2 then gets mixed with water and gets pumped underground. The extreme subterranean pressure keeps the gas locked away forever. It will be sequestered in bedrock for millennia, and that's according to Stratos. Now, here's where things get interesting with Stratos. Stratos does intend to keep some of the carbon dioxide, so it's not going to bury all of it. Guess what they're going to do with some of it? They're going to use it to extract even more oil from rigs. Yes, they are going to pump carbon dioxide into oil rigs to get out all of the oil from the rigs. This, of course, I shouldn't have to say it, but I'll say it. This, of course, is one of the main causes of the climate crisis in the first place. So interesting. But Occidental Petroleum, who again is behind this Stratos project, Occidental says it's trying to become a carbon management company as well as an oil producer. Occidental is planning to build 100 plants in the coming years. It is funded in part by $1.2 billion coming from the Biden administration. So I'll leave that there and then we'll go to Iceland. We'll talk about Mammoth, which is another direct carbon capture option. Again, it's located in Iceland. It is powered by geothermal energy. It is capable of capturing up to 36,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. And it works in a similar manner to Stratos. Basically, dozens of gigantic fans suck air into bins that contain chemical pellets. The chemical pellets then absorb the carbon dioxide and then releases the gas when it's heated up. The carbon dioxide is mixed with water and it's pumped more than a mile below the surface of the earth, where again, that extreme pressure turns it into a solid manner. It mineralizes it in a matter of years. The gas effectively becomes rock. It becomes part of the rock. So that's two carbon capture options, Stratos in Texas and Mammoth in Iceland. Next, let's talk about that gigantic umbrella in outer space. Scientists at Technion Israel Institute of Technology say that they are ready to build a prototype of a gigantic sunshade in space. Now, the idea is to create a gigantic parasol and essentially send it to a faraway point between the Earth and the sun to block out a small but crucial amount of solar radiation. It would theoretically block out enough radiation to counter global warming. Scientists have calculated that if just under 2% of the sun's radiation is blocked, that would be enough to cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius. That would also, of course, hopefully keep the Earth within manageable climate boundaries. So proponents of the sunshade say that it's not an end-all be-all solution. It could just be one of many solutions working in harmony together to solve this gigantic problem that is climate change. Critics, however, of the sunshade argue that the sunshade, if it ever even got made, it would be astronomically expensive and would never in reality be implemented in time given the speed of global warming. We're going to take our sponsor break. And then when we come back, we have two more geoengineering projects that are happening right now to discuss. We're going to talk about geoengineering the oceans, and then we're going to talk about sending sulfur dioxide up into the atmosphere in balloons. Yes, it happened. We'll get there after our quick sponsor break. Mother's Day is around the corner, and I have the best gift idea for you. Hold on to your hats. It's mylifeinabook.com. Every week, My Life in a Book will send your mom a question via email. They will compile all of your mom or the mom in your life's answers and create a legacy keepsake book. The book becomes something you and future generations can treasure forever. I gave both my mother and my mother-in-law My Life in a Book, and they've already started responding to the prompts. When my mother-in-law received her first prompt, she said, "Oh my goodness, what a thoughtful gift." And that's what we all want, right? We all want to give thoughtful gifts. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day, mylifeinabook.com, and use code SUSTAINABLE for 10% off today. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. And we're back. Today we're discussing five geoengineering projects that are well underway in hopes of, again, messing with the Earth's atmosphere in hopes of curbing the most disastrous effects of global warming. Before the break, we discussed two direct carbon capture plants. We also discussed a gigantic sunshade that is ready to be made into a prototype to block the sun's radiation. Now let's go to the ocean. The ocean has an awful lot of photosynthesizing plants, doesn't it? I'm talking algae. Well, some scientists believe that adding iron to the ocean is a great way to make algae bloom. So more algae. And the idea is more algae means more photosynthesis and less carbon dioxide in the air. Because yes, the more algae grows, the more this algae will convert carbon dioxide in the air to organic carbon, which will hopefully, fingers crossed, sink into the watery depths of the ocean. Now, there are plenty of concerns about inadvertent effects of adding iron into our oceans. The big one being the creation of toxic algae blooms. Perhaps you know something about algae blooms. They're horrible for marine life. They essentially suffocate marine life. In 2012, an entrepreneur added 100 tons of iron to the ocean and created a substantial plankton bloom. And so many scientists and policymakers are worried about what would happen if entrepreneurs scaled up the adding iron to the ocean without governmental oversight. And now the good news, of course, is that ocean fertilization theoretically would cost less than other options like that sunshade, let's say. And proponents too also argue that ocean fertilization will reduce ocean acidification, and that's acidification is what plagues coral reefs and shellfish. And so it could have more long-lasting positive effects on the oceans than solar radiation management. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist, but adding iron to the ocean just, you know, my spidey sense is going off. That does not sound like a good idea personally. But now let's move on to our final geoengineering idea today. And it is from a company called Make Sunsets. They are out of Southern California. This is all about solar geoengineering. Make Sunsets launched two balloons in Southern California last year. Each balloon carried less than 10 grams of sulfur dioxide. And I want to say that this test flight that they did, it was so small. Make Sunsets said it purchased the sulfur and the weather balloons off of Amazon. So they sent these weather balloons filled with sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere. Because when sulfur dioxide is oxidized in the atmosphere, it can form particles that reflect sunlight back into space. This happens with large volcanic eruptions, which can release tens of millions of tons of sulfur dioxide. And so there is evidence that sulfur dioxide emissions from volcanic eruptions can cool the planet. It's happened in the past. But a UN-backed panel of experts did come to the conclusion that this technique does come with significant risks and can have unintended consequences on the ozone layer. That's, of course, after decades of work to repair all the holes in the ozone layer that we human beings caused in the last 50 years. So this startup, Make Sunsets, did try to launch their sulfur dioxide balloons into the stratosphere. And now, of course, the government of Mexico was not too happy. Mexico said it will prohibit such experiments going forward. So what's the final word today? The final word is that geoengineering projects raise some gigantic questions, don't they? Who gets the right to alter the planet? Who gets that right? What burdens of proof should they first meet? Should they meet any? Right now, there are no international standards governing these new geoengineering technologies, even though these technologies could affect the whole planet. Now, of course, too, I must say the other side of the argument, you could make the argument that thanks to our excessive burning of fossil fuels, we human beings have already been manipulating the planet for the past couple hundred years, right? And that's because we humans have added enough carbon dioxide to the atmosphere to mess up weather patterns, melt glaciers, wipe out coral reefs, wipe out species. And so I wanted to air this episode today so that we're all on the same page with regard to potential solutions, but let's not forget, the solution is simple. The solution is to stop burning fossil fuels. The solution may not be an umbrella in space. The solution is not as simple as direct carbon capture out of Texas that is going to then use some carbon dioxide to pump out some more oil. So we'll be back on Tuesday for our regularly scheduled interview where we're talking about growing. Yes, it's spring. It's time to grow, isn't it? Oh my gosh, I feel rejuvenated. It's spring and it's time to grow. I'll see you on Tuesday. Of course, if you find yourself thinking about what you hear on this show, or if you find yourself talking about what you hear on this show with others, perhaps even this show helps you to think about life a little bit differently. If any of that's true for you, please consider supporting the show. The link is in the show notes. Thank you so much. I'll see you Tuesday. Have an amazing weekend and take care.